Welcome to Logical, the first regular podcast navigating legal processes in the UAE. I'm Tim Elliott, and in today's podcast, recent changes in Dubai concerning travel bans on children in the case of divorcing parents. Now, as always, Ludmila Yamalova is with me. She's the managing partner of the Dubai-based legal firm HPL Yamalova & Plaiska. Hello, hello, Ludmila.
Hello, hello, Tim. Good to be here with you, as always. Thank you for being here.
So exactly what's changed, Ludmila, in the process for lifting travel bans on children in the cases of divorcing parents here in Dubai?
I mean, there is a significant change, but perhaps before I go into change, why don't we just set the stage a little bit for those who may not be aware of what we or talking about when we talk about travel bans. I mean, for you and I who've lived in the UAE for way too long, this is sort of a ubiquitous term, but for a lot of other people, a travel ban is a bit of an odd phrase and perhaps would benefit from a little bit of a background and explanation. So what we're talking about is that UAE has historically had this judicial tool, which is called travel ban, allowing one or the other parent, either in those cases where the parents are already divorced or in the process of a divorce or even the process of some sort of a dispute, is to place what's called a travel ban on the child or children until their dispute is resolved. Well, the tool existed and was used for different reasons, but perhaps one of the more important reasons, which is specifically applicable in the UAE, is because, let's remind everybody, as we all know, the UAE is a cocktail of so many different nationalities and religions and citizens from all over the world, truly. And at the end, it is a country of expats. And in many cases, expats are of mixed nationalities, mixed races, mixed religions and such, which means that in the event a family have a dispute, because for majority of the families here we're talking about, the UAE is not their home country. Therefore, in the event of a dispute or a divorce, often what would happen, one or the other parent would threaten to leave or would actually leave and leave with the kids. So, for example, let's take a simple example. Let's say an Australian couple and the parents lived here and had kids and decided to divorce. One, let's say the father stays because he has a job here, and the mother, now that they're divorced, wants to leave to go to Australia because obviously that's kind of her home country. So even those cases, and the father is obviously upset because he doesn't want the kids to be so far away from Dubai. And I guess makes sense because Australia, among so many other countries, is so far away from Dubai. So it's not like a weekend trip to visit your kids. And that's one of the simpler examples. There were more complicated examples where couples of mixed nationalities and mixed religions, and there were cases where the divorces were so acrimonious and so emotional, and for some perhaps even scary, that parents, for one reason or another, make decisions to in many cases, what they believe to protect the children. Sometimes the mother would just get on the plane and leave, or the other way around, the father would leave with the kids. So, by the way, is kidnapping. That's your sort of form, maybe a kind of more classic form of kidnapping. But there are these cases where, In this part of the world, in this jurisdiction, actually quite typical or common by virtue of how much of a mixed society we are here. So this judicial tool exists basically to preclude kidnappings, ultimately, even if they're by parents. So until there's a resolution of a dispute, or at least for the courts to have some kind of control to ensure to help parties to make sure that the children, that both parents, for example, have access to the children. And that's the tool exists in two ways. In one way is to make sure that the kidnapping does not happen. And on the other hand is that there is an incentive to come back into the UAE, and there isn't this kind of, in the event there is a acrimonious dispute, there isn't this sort of manipulation manipulation, perhaps by virtue of one or the other parent being able to get on the plane and leave, and therefore vary the sort of the substance of how the dispute is resolved. So that's the judicial tool that we're talking about here today, and that's the travel ban that the courts would, it's the courts don't do it on their own, obviously. It'd be one or the other parent would request for the travel ban to be placed on the children. So it doesn't happen automatically, and it doesn't happen when there is a very sort of acrimonious dispute. It can happen even if it's just sort of more or less an ordinary divorce, but one or the other parent just kind of wants for the children to be there during this period of time. So they would apply to the court to have travel ban applied, and in that case, the children cannot leave the country unless there is an approval from the court to do so. So that's basically what we're talking about in today's discussion. Many people, the context is a little alien because they haven't found themselves in that situation. But for a lot of families here, this is a very serious issue, and therefore the topic is of much significance. But the process for applying the travel ban, requesting for it to be lifted temporarily, and for reinstating it when the family would come back, was fairly, in relative terms, it was a process that was a lot more involved and a lot more time consuming. So as of this year, and this particular process we're talking about today is for Dubai specifically. So it's the Dubai courts that have recently streamlined this process, making it much more efficient. So where previously it involved a lot more of a set of manual steps and waiting periods, now because there's an integrated system between the Dubai courts and other authorities such as the Criminal Investigation Department or CID and immigration, the process amongst these different authorities is more or less automated.
Okay, so how does the new system work?
So the new system is, let's assume there is a travel ban. And again, to have a travel ban, one or the other parent would have to request the court to place a travel ban. It doesn't happen automatically. When a couple decides to divorce, it doesn't just because they have a divorce, the court does not place the kids on the travel ban. So one or the other parent has to request it. Once there is that that request, then the court has to approve it. And so assuming that there is a travel ban that had previously been approved by the court, now let's say one or the other parent wants to travel with the kids, but the case is still ongoing. Either the divorce case is ongoing, or the alimony case is ongoing, or the dispute is ongoing. But one or the other parent wants to travel with the children, be it on visit their grandparents or on holiday for medical reasons or to renew their passports. And there are so many different, obviously, reasons for people to go and travel elsewhere. So now that parent, who would be a traveling parent, would request from the court, apply to the court to have the travel ban lifted. And as part of this process, they would need to submit kind of explanation, justification as to why they want for the travel ban to be lifted. And then once the court approves this decision, it gets automatically communicated to the CID or the Criminal Investigation Department, which ultimately decides on these matters, or at least places, or kind of decides on how to place the travel ban. The communication between the Dubai courts and the CID these days because it's an integrated system, it's almost automatic. So just by virtue of the Dubai courts issuing a decision to lift the ban, it gets automatically communicated to the CID, which ultimately results in the automatic lift of the travel ban in the CID and the immigration systems, making obviously the process a lot faster and smoother.
So that's the new system. Can you explain also how the old system worked? And in particular, why was that so time consuming?
So previously, whenever there was a travel ban on the children and one or the other parent, the traveling parent, wanted to travel with the children, they would need to make a request through the court to lift the travel ban. Then the court would have to approve. Then on the back of that, the parent would have to request for the court to issue a letter to the CID. Then, so remember, so there's an approval. First, the court has this issue decision, and the decision is just a decision as part of a court case. But as part of that decision, then you would have to request a letter to be issued to the CID, to address the CID. So this is not a letter between the parties. It's a letter to a third party, right? So on the back of a decision, the court would issue a letter addressed to the CID. Then that traveling parent would have to take this letter physically and go to CID and physically find the right department in CID, give them the letter, and then request for them to process the letter and ultimately lift the ban on the basis of the court decision. But once you drop off the letter, I mean, you just, because we're talking about the manual physical letter, right? And so you go drop off with somebody, and what happened to that letter afterwards, how soon it was actually going to be processed, obviously was subject to circumstances at that point in time. So depending on when you came to the CID, which day of the week, who you were able to speak at that time, who you were handed this letter to. But so in most cases, it would take a few days before that letter at CID itself would ultimately be processed, right? And so, and therefore the travel ban would be lifted. So it was from start to finish, from the time that the parent would request for the travel ban to be lifted to the time actually it would be lifted. In some cases we've seen it would take sometimes weeks. We've seen, because again, it depends on if there's a holiday in between and if the sort of the people in charge were available at the time, if the letter made it into the hands of the right person at the right time, and so on and so forth. So we've seen, and sometimes, by the way, there could also be typos in the letter itself from the court. The CID would ask, can you go back, please, and clarify. We've seen that as well. So for example, we've seen where the court would issue a letter to CID and let's say not indicate as to how long that travel ban was going to be lifted was mentioned in the letter. So we've seen CID requesting another letter from the court that would be more specific in terms of what's the travel period during which this travel ban should be lifted. And so back and forth. So sometimes we've seen from the time you apply for the travel ban to be lifted to the time that actually it was physically lifted, by that time, that period that was mentioned in the letter during which the person was allowed by the court to travel had already expired. So we've had clients like that because for example, they would request, I need to travel with my children from, let's say, February 1 to February 15th. And by the time they would submit to the letter to the court would approve it, and the court would approve the letter for those dates from February 1 to February 15th. By the time the travel ban was lifted, it was already February 14th. So we've seen cases like this. That's kind of how the process was. And that's because every time we talk about this process, it involves multiple authorities, right? It's the court, which is the judicial authority. And then you've got CID, which is the criminal investigation department. And then you also have immigration, which ultimately immigration is the one that perhaps is kind of the final port upon which the travel bans usually come to surface, right? So you may not know that you have a travel ban until you're at the airport trying to board a flight or trying to check in, and then you realize there's a travel ban on you. So immigration is also one of the obvious authorities and natural authorities that's involved in this process. So because there's so many different authorities and each one of them is a separate authority, so this manual process would, for obvious reasons, take time and was prone sometimes to delays and kind of procedural issues that required sort of traveling back and forth amongst the different authorities.
I'm starting to see. I mean, it's a huge change, isn't it? So that's if children are prevented from leaving the country. What about when children return to the country, Ludmilla?
So because now the system is so automatic, which basically what we just described is no more, when the court issues a decision in its system that the travel ban is lifted, right away it gets communicated to CIDs and then immigration. And so you don't even need, as a parent, you don't necessarily need to even go and get clarification or sign off or some sort of a letter of confirmation from the authorities or from immigration that, yes, the kids are free to travel, because you can even see this through the court system, which is obviously a great service and great benefit. So equally so, when you come back into the country with the kids, because the system is automated, now it's being communicated the other way around. So once the family lands, let's say in Dubai airport, it would be a Dubai airport because it's a Dubai system. So the immigration authorities in Dubai log in that particular child or children have come back into the country. So the information gets automatically communicated back to the court, and then automatically the travel ban should also be placed back through the different authorities and different systems now that the children are back. So I guess the service works both ways, and that's also an example of how this kind of automated exchange of information works both ways, and ultimately benefits the parties, because from the purposes of the non-traveling parent, this is also a great service, because as a non-traveling parent, now you have the assurance, and whenever the family came back or your spouse came back with the children, that you don't need to go and make a specific request to the court to place a travel ban again on the children. So it's because that too is an effort. So it just all happens automatically. So it's a lot more of a fluid and efficient process.
What prompted the change in the system?
This new system is as of this year, 2024. And it's part of what's the initiative in Dubai that's called the Dubai Social Agenda 33 initiative, and which came into effect in January 2024. And the agenda includes a list of goals to be achieved by 2033, focusing on improving a number of sort of industries and areas in society, but in particular healthcare, education, and just living standards in Dubai.
For anybody that doesn't live in Dubai or isn't aware of the Social Agenda 33, could you elaborate on some of the objectives?
Sure. So the objectives predictably include positioning Dubai among the world's top three cities. So we aim high for many good reasons. The main objective is to place Dubai among the world's top three cities in terms of standard of living and achieving a healthy life expectancy that ranks amongst the world's top 10, and establishing the quality of education in Dubai, tripling the number of Emiratis working in the private sector, for example, also providing land plot and loans for every new Emirati within 1 year of their application, and generally speaking, supporting efforts to double the number of new Emirati families in Dubai. So this is just kind of in very broad terms, the various objectives that are part of this Dubai Social Agenda 33.
How do changes like this impact the overall process for divorced or divorcing parents?
I guess the theory is that this new system will greatly reduce the stress and the time involved in the process that particular divorcing parents, as you said, often face, but doesn't just apply to divorcing parents, but in general, sort of, it allows parents to focus more on their families and less on the bureaucratic hurdles, as we've just seen, as the case was before in connection with the travel bans. So that in particular is a significant step forward in supporting sort of families during these already quite challenging times.
That's another logical breaking down some of the recent changes here in Dubai concerning travel bans on children in the cases of divorcing or even divorced parents. Thanks for listening and watching if you're with us on YouTube. And thanks as always to our legal expert, managing partner Yamalova and Pleska, Ludmila Yamalova. Thank you very much.
Tim, thank you.
Look out for more on The Legal World in the UAE on Logical soon. Reach out to us at LY Law on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn. The podcasts are all free at lylawyers.com or wherever you find your podcasts. And be sure to subscribe so you can stay informed and stay empowered. To get a legal question answered, either by a qualified UAE experienced legal professional or in an episode of Logical, click on contact at lylawyers.com.